This morning's scripture is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased."
Of things. Number one is that the baptism of Jesus, which we see on the screen and is the main point of our text this morning, that in the baptism of Jesus, we get a paradigmatic. Okay, kids, say paradigmatic. You get a paradigm, an example, an illustration to follow what fatherhood is like. And then in addition to that, I want to help you to see that we're all made with a hunger for that. God designed us to hunger for that type of experience with a Father, our Father in heaven and our Father on earth. And so would you pray with me now that God would help us experience Himself as our true Father, as the ultimate Father, as the only perfect example of a Father, but also that all of us earthly fathers would rightly pattern our life. That's the paradigm part of this. That we would rightly pattern our fathering after God. Let's pray for those things. Dads, maybe you got breakfast in bed. Maybe you get to test drive a Ferrari this afternoon. Who knows what your family has planned for you. But listen to this. If you do Father's Day right, it's not ultimately about you. It's ultimately about you allowing your kids to look at you in order to point them to your Father in heaven. And that takes help. And that's what this morning is meant to be for you dads, for me, is help to point our kids rightly to the Father in heaven. So let's pray. Yeah, there is a lot here, and I felt guilty all week leaving out so much from this passage and even the broader context, and yet I think what's here is good and right, particularly for this day. And so, God, I pray as Kyle did, for those in this room who had bad dads or absent dads or whose dadding fell remarkably short, all of ours does in some way, but remarkably and painfully short of the example that we get in this passage and throughout the Bible. I pray especially the people who had bad earthly fathers would find hope and rest and healing and all that they hunger for in you through Jesus. Let that ring true this morning, that all that any of us lacked in our earthly fathers is more than made up for, is infinitely made up for in our Heavenly Father, who again is the only true Father. And God, I pray for those of us who are Christian dads, who have tried to pattern our lives after the fathering, our fathering after the fathering of God, but we know that we've fallen short. Help us to look quickly to the cross and find healing and strength. And God, I pray for all of us that You would help us this morning in looking at the nature of Your fatherhood to worship You more fully, to see You in more of Your glory, and therein to order more of our lives consistently with Your nature and Your word. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, good news for you guys. I came up with the definitive list of the 5 essential Father's Day facts. This is all you need to know about Father's Day. If you know nothing else besides these 5 things, you have all that you need to know. They came from 2 of my favorite blogs, theartofmanliness.com and thegospelcoalition.org. Here they are. Number 1, after listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909, Sonora Dodd of Spokane, Washington, wanted a special day to honor her father, a widowed Civil War veteran, who was left to raise his 6 children on a farm. The first Father's Day celebration was on June 17th. What's today? June 17th, 1910, 118 years ago. 108 years ago. It was proclaimed by Spokane's mayor, because it was the month of Smart's birth. Number two, the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers, though, did not come until 1966. Dads, if you remember from Mother's Day, that began in 1914. So we were way behind. When President Lyndon Johnson designated the third Sunday of June as Father's Day, but it wasn't celebrated in perpetuity, that is, commissioned by a president to happen every single year until 1972, so a little while after that, when Richard Nixon signed the public law making Father's Day a permanent celebration in the U.S. Number three, the rose. I didn't know this. I didn't know any of this, actually, but I definitely didn't know this. The rose is the official flower of Father's Day. Wearing a red rose is meant to signify a living father, while a white one represents a deceased father. I had no idea either of those were true. Number four, Father's Day is celebrated in countries all around the world more than Mother's Day, including Australia, Bolivia, Canada, China, France, Greece, Honduras, India, Iran, Japan, Nepal, Poland, South Korea, Thailand, and Zimbabwe in alphabetical order. Now, this I find interesting as well. It might be a lie, but there's statistics to back this up, so, and it's on the internet. But according to a recent poll, you know, a little bit of Family Feud here, what is the number one answer that dads gave, top three answers for what they want most on Father's Day? And the first answer, far and away, at 40%, was to receive no gift at all. I don't know if that's true, but, I lied. That's not true. That definitely is not true. Not even according to the internet. The first one is to just spend quality time with their kids and their family. That's 40%. Second, which I don't believe, at 22%, was to receive no gift at all. And third was a gift card at 13%. That probably is actually number one. As you can see, though, the point of this is not messed up statistics and such, but the point of this is just like with Mother's Day, Father's Day does not have a distinctly Christian origin. And therefore, like Mother's Day, for us to bring it into the worship service and to make it a part of our celebration on the Lord's Day requires a little bit of an explanation, maybe even a defense. But my defense is simple and definitive. And here it is. Just like the world around us oftentimes hijacks distinctly Christian holidays, we're going to hijack some of theirs. And so I'm hijacking secular Father's Day in order to draw your attention, to take advantage of everyone thinking about fathers, and to draw your attention to the fact that fatherhood, or as father, hear this, Grace, is the primary way in which God presents himself to us. Let me say that again, because that may be one of the most important things you hear this morning. As presenting himself as father or in his fatherhood is the primary way that God shows himself and interacts with his people. That is, of all the ways God describes his nature, and I made a quick list of a few of them, consuming fire, refuge, guide, judge, helper, fortress, rock, shield, healer, and on, of all the different ways that God presents himself to his people, Father is the most common, consistent, and fundamental of those. Earthly fatherhood. If you're a dad, if you have a biological child or an adopted child, earthly fatherhood exists primarily to point to heavenly fatherhood. Indeed, earthly fatherhood is designed by God as a primary means of teaching his people about himself. Kids, you are meant, when your dad is surrendered to God through Jesus Christ, you're meant to be able to look at your dad and get a living picture of God the Father, to get a visible picture of God the Father. Dads, that's heavy, right? That, of course, means that your calling, our calling, my calling as a father is a high calling. Everything that makes for a good earthly father, then, has its roots in the fatherhood of God. Men, dads, if you mean to be a good father, it is always, always directly proportional to your knowledge of and experience with your Father in heaven. you can never be a better dad, this means, than you are a son of the Most High God in heaven. So therefore, it is appropriate, I believe, for us to celebrate Father's Day within the church when, and only when, we are ultimately celebrating our Heavenly Father and helping the men and the future men of our church to pattern our earthly fathering after Him. And that is most certainly what the point of this sermon is. And so with that then, let's look again at the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3. Look, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 3, 16 and 17. If not, it's on the screen behind me. But I want to help you gain some insights, just a handful of insights into God's fathering in order to better look to Him and worship Him as Father, in order to be better fathers ourselves. So look at it again. It's like Johanna read a few minutes ago. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven, that is the voice of the Father, said, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Men, when you came in, hopefully you got this. And if not, make sure you get one on the way out. And if we ran out of them, make sure you tell me, and I'll get you one next week. But hopefully you got this. It's a CD. It has six MP3s on it. It's a set of sermons given a number of years ago by a man named Douglas Wilson. And collectively, they served as the basis for his book called Father Hunger. The 6 points in this, the following 6 points in this sermon are from the first message on that CD. Now, I chose to do this for two reasons, to use his six main headings. And one is that I really want, I think if I do my job well, it's going to help you to and encourage you to listen to this. It's meant to be a teaser, a trailer, to listen to the messages on the CD and be blessed. But even more so, to offer for you a helpful picture for godly fathering. That is, the following 6 points, which flow from Matthew 3, 16 and 17, are, I believe, one of the clearest examples of God functioning as Father. Now, when you think of God as your Father, maybe you think of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name." Maybe you think of the Trinity and the relationship between the Godhead. Maybe you think of yourself as an adopted son or daughter of God through faith in Jesus. Those are all good. But what does it actually mean and look like that He is our Father, that He is the Father of Jesus? What does that actually mean and look like? This right here, these few simple verses are perhaps, maybe even probably, the clearest example you will find in the entire Bible of God functioning as Father. That's the main reason I chose to use these points and share them with you this morning. It's one of the clearest examples of God functioning as Father and how earthly fathers are to think and feel and act towards our kids. And so with that, here are six pretty quick points. The first one is this. The Father was present. Dads, men, the Father was present. People of God, the Father is present. The first thing to see is that He was present in the life of His Son. Now, this might seem simple, and guess what? It is, but we simply must not allow ourselves to miss this. When Jesus was baptized and about to begin His earthly ministry, His Father was most especially present. What's more, and this is good news for all of us, not just dads, Jeremiah 23:23 and other passages like it teaches that the particular example that we find in here and with Jesus, the particular example of Matthew 3, is actually a universal truth. Listen to the words of Jeremiah, or God in Jeremiah. "And this is God speaking, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. And here's the point. God is always present in the lives of all of His children. We see here that He was present in the life of His Son and in the baptism of His Son. But Jeremiah and countless other passages in the Bible teach us that this particular truth is actually a universal truth. God is always present in the lives of His children. He is never absent. He is never unaware, like Kyle pointed out in the exhortation. He is never unaware of what is going on in our lives. He is continually conscious of our needs and joys and sorrows and fears and trials and triumphs. As I prepared the sermon this week, I just stepped back for a minute and realized what a gift it was to have had a father, my dad, who modeled this for me. I can't remember a single significant event in my life, and I can't remember very many insignificant events of my life for which he was absent or not there. Never having to wonder if he'd be there was a remarkable blessing and unknowingly a remarkable example of the nature of God. I didn't know that back then, but it gave me a neat pattern. And I've seen the hurt that is burned into people who didn't have dads where they were able to assume that about them. God is always present with His children, and therefore in every reasonable way, dads, in every reasonable way, we must imitate Him in this with our own children. Be there, dads. Be there for them, and make sure that they know you will continue to be there for them as long as you have breath. Give your kids the gift. Write this down, please, dads. Give your kids the gift that your Father, Heavenly Father gives you of being able to assume your unwavering presence in their life. Give your kids the gift of being able to assume your unwavering presence in their lives as your Heavenly Father gives to you. That's the first point. Here's the second point. The Father made His presence felt by sending His Spirit. It gets better still. Not only can we assume because of the promise of God to us that He will always be present in our lives through Christ, but it gets better still. He was not only present, but He made His presence felt. God has and is a Spirit. At Jesus' baptism, the Spirit served as the visible image of the Father. That is, as one of the means by which the Son was able to feel, experience, know the presence of His Father. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw from the opened heavens the Spirit of God, knowing that it was the Spirit of God, descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. You and I as well have been given a Spirit by God. We are not merely physical creatures. Our Spirit, like the Father's Spirit, is an essential part of our being. Hear this. Your Spirit is an essential part of who you are. We are not merely physical creatures. We are physical and spiritual creatures, having been made in the image of God. If we are to follow the Father's example, then, we must not, dads, be merely physically present, present in our body. We must also be spiritually present, present in attention and engagement. Having a dad who is physically around is more than a lot of people in this room maybe ever have known. But if we are to be truly godly dads, our physical presence is only part of our responsibility. Let me tell you what I think that means practically. On a practical level, it means coming home each evening after work is good. Do that. Again, there are some in this room who didn't have a dad or don't have a dad who does that. But coming home each evening after work is good. But if you come home only to zone out in front of the TV or newspaper, you're not present in spirit in the way the Father is present in our lives. It means that going to your kids' musical or dance or sports or academic performances is good, but insufficient if you spend the whole time on your phone. And it means that making sure your kids have every physical thing that they might need, food and clothes and shelter, and college tuition maybe, or whatever, but that providing for their, but it also means acknowledging that providing for their spirits is also a significant part of imitating our Father in heaven. So Dad, let's truly engage our kids. Let's make sure that they know deep in their bones, deep in their being. Let it be part of their unconscious understanding of how the world works, that second only to their mothers, they mean more to us than anyone on earth. And that we're going to manifest that with our physical presence, but also our attention, our spiritual presence. God is always present and He is always engaged. Number three, the Father made His presence known not only by sending His Spirit and being present spiritually, but by speaking. The third thing to see is that God made His presence known both visibly and audibly. Behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The Spirit and the Word of the Father evidenced His engagement in this remarkable scene. The Spirit and the Word. I tried this out the other night. At their track meet, I made it a point of emphasis with our older girls to let them know that I was there and that I was there for them. So I'd cheer them on during their events and I'd congratulate them after their events. And in between, I tried to embarrass them by calling them over for hugs in front of their friends. I might have annoyed them a little bit, but it left no doubt that they were my focus. I verbally confirmed my presence and engagement with them. I know for sure that there are healthier expressions of these three points than the example I just gave. But however you do it, dads, do it. Engage your kids. As the Father engages you, be present as God is present. How? Physically, spiritually, visibly, and vocally. Let them know that you are there. Let them know that you are there for them, wherever there is. And do it in the ways that the Father did it. Number four. Three. Whatever number this is. The Father identified with His Son. I love this. This is maybe my favorite one. That the heavenly and earthly implications of this are hard to overstate. When your life is hard, if you are trusting in Christ, this is one of the greatest gifts that you have been given. Those of you who struggle to have assurance of your salvation, who are trusting in Christ, but struggle to know the Father's love for you and experience it, this is one of the most significant things that you can hear. Behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son." Both for His Son's sake and for the sake of those close enough to hear. Others heard this, not just Jesus. God the Father identified Jesus as His Son. This was, of course, true before the Father said it. It wasn't His Father saying it at that moment that made it so. And yet there is something remarkably powerful about this declaration. Jesus was fully God, and Jesus was also fully human. In His humanity, filled with the knowledge that He was about to begin a ministry that would end in His horrific death, knowing that His baptism, that this event right here on the screen, marked the beginning of His life of sorrows and was what was going to begin to make Him acquainted with grief in a new way, this reminder of the Father's presence and blessing would have been and was meant to be a great source of blessing for Jesus. What's more, the Father's declaration of Jesus as His Son, the Father's identification with Jesus left no doubts to the nearby listeners as to the legitimacy of Jesus as a man, as the Son, the very Son of God, and as one who would speak on the Father's behalf. But Grace, hear this. All of you, fathers, mothers, all of you, kids, if you are hoping in Jesus, if you are hoping in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, if your faith is in Jesus, find rest in the certain knowledge that this is God's declaration to you as well. You too are His sons and daughters. If you've been here for a while, you heard me preach through 1 John, and in chapter 3 we read, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. In a minute, I'm going to talk about the indicative nature of fatherhood for all men who have children. Here I want to talk about the indicative nature of all Christians. Namely, that you are children of God. You don't do anything to become more or less children of God. If your hope is in Christ, you are fully and eternally a child of God. And on your dark days, that is a source of unbelievable hope. He has declared, you are my son, you are my daughter, by grace through faith in Christ. And so dads in particular, make sure that you know, and that your kids know how eager you are to name them as your sons and daughters. They might look funny, they might smell funny at times, they might act funny, but that must never, ever change the fact that you know them as your children, and you make sure they know that you know them as your children. Nothing that they could ever do can affect that status. Let them see the pleasure and pride on your face when you introduce them to others. As the Father did and does, leave no doubt, in private or in public, that they are your children and that you are earnest for everyone to know it. And that leads us straight to the next point. The Father expressed His love for His Son. In our passage, we were able to see that the Father was present, that He made His presence both seen and heard, and that one of His primary purposes in doing so was to make it known that He identified with the Son as His Father. But there's more. The Father didn't merely name Jesus as His Son. Yeah, He is, I guess. He named Him as His, do you see it? What kind of a Son? His beloved Son. Behold, a voice from heaven came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. God the Father genuinely and fully loved Jesus. Christian, dad, child, this is true of you and I as well. We too, by grace through faith in Jesus, are beloved children. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as, same language for us, same word, beloved children. In Christ, God's primary relationship, hear this, if you're having a hard day, if you've had a hard season, if Father's Day is hard for you, in Christ, know that God is your Father, that is, His primary relationship to you is familial. And hear this, wounded people, hurt and struggling people, His primary disposition towards you in Christ is love. His primary relation to you is familial, and His primary disposition to you is love. Rest in that. Rejoice in that. And dads, imitate that in the way you treat your kids. Let them know that you are not first their disciplinarian, or their teacher, or their janitor, or their banker, or their chauffeur, or anything above their father. Let them know that. Let them feel that. Let them experience that and all that it means. Your primary relationship to them is dad. And let them know that above pride, above frustration, above fatigue, above satisfaction, or any other disposition, love drives you in your relationship with them. Tell them you love them. Hug them and kiss them, even if they're 30, even if they're 50. Constantly work for what's best for them. And all this leads to the final point. The Father was well pleased with this Son. The Father was well pleased with Jesus. Grace, never, never make the mistake of believing that there isn't joy shared within the Godhead. I think if I'm being honest, most of the time my default assumption is that there's just this kind of neutrality of emotions among the Godhead. They're just fine. They're just maybe emotionless even. I don't know, but never make that mistake. Don't make my mistake believing that there isn't joy in the highest. If you have ever experienced joy in your life, know that eternally, forever past and forever to come, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit have experienced infinite pleasure, infinite joy within themselves. That's awesome. Listen to that. That's awesome. Eternally, the Father, Spirit, and Son have been in a confederacy of joy. Eternally, the Father, Spirit, and Son have produced and received infinite joy from one another. And in this simple, maybe minute-long exchange, I read it, it's less than a minute. In a minute-long exchange, we see the pleasure of the Trinity in one another. That's awesome. In hearing His Father's voice and message, Jesus was genuinely able to rejoice in it. Again, dads, this is your example. This is your paradigm. This is our paradigm. This is fatherhood in basic and pure form. Let your kids know that you are pleased with them. Let them know that you are proud of them. Let them regularly know that you feel, let them regularly feel your pleasure and joy in them. Let them know how much you delight in them simply because they're your kids. And when they act wrongly, make sure you address it through the lens of the gospel. That is to say, make sure you address it the way your Heavenly Father addresses it with you. And make sure you do it in the humbling knowledge that you, your kids can never wrong you a fraction as much as you have wronged God. They can't come within a million miles of offending you in any way compared to that which you have offended your Father in heaven. And yet in Christ, your Heavenly Father, again, His primary disposition towards you is still grace and love and pleasure. Let your kids know that. Let them feel that. Even this week, I've needed to repent to that many times. If you have a child, men, I said earlier, you are indicatively, not imperatively. Indicative is ontological. It just is. A tree is brown. You don't command a tree to be brown. Its brownness is part of what it is. It's an indicative of the tree. If you have children, you are indicatively a father. You can't not be. You can run and hide in the North Pole, away from every one of your kids, but you are still a father. The question is whether you will be a good one or not. Whether you will orient yourself towards the example of the Father or not. There is, of course, much more that could be said about fathering, but men, hear this. There's not less. This is mere fatherhood. This is a good start for all of us to consider the nature of the relationship between God and His Son Jesus, between God and His children through faith, as well as the one between those in this room who are dads and their children. Grace, it's vital for all of us to understand that this is how God is, and this is how God calls fathers to be. But it's also vital to understand that He made you and I to hunger for this. That's why Douglas Wilson called his book Father Hunger. This experiencing these six things that I just gave you is something you and I were created to hunger for, to need for sustenance in life, which is why it hurts so bad when we don't have it. And our earthly fathers, when we have these things, and our earthly fathers, therefore, we experience glimpses, flashes of fullness in terms of appetite and strength. But when we lack them, we can experience profound emptiness and weakness. And yet, hear this. Again, hurting, wounded, people of God, hear this. As we all know, ultimately, no one but God fathers perfectly. Our father hunger, that which God made us with, can only truly be met in the Father. And that is why we look to Him. That is why we look to Him to meet any needs our fathers lacked. And why we look to Jesus to forgive any shortcomings in our lives as fathers. So this, again, is good news to all of us. Regardless of how poorly your earthly father loved you, your heavenly Father is able to make up for anything and everything that He lacked. You are able, hear this. You are able to have the full and complete love of a father. To have your father hunger entirely satisfied, even if you never knew your biological dad. You are able to have the full and complete provision and protection of a father, even if your earthly dad was nothing but lazy and abusive. And this is also good news for all the dads in this room who have not been the kind of fathers that God calls us to be, which is to say, all of us. And the good news is that Jesus, beginning with his baptism here and the beginning of his ministry, ended at the cross. Jesus died to take away our sins, to change our hearts, reveal the will of God, and strengthen us to walk in righteousness, beginning now. In our passage for this morning, again, we see the baptism of Jesus, and we know that it began here in the river and ended on a hill. It ended on a cross. The cross means, dads, the cross means that you need not be defined by your past failures, that you need not remain in them, and that by grace through faith, you are presently being made into the kind of father that you were made by God to be. So look to God, all of you. Look to God to satisfy your father hunger. And look to Jesus, dads. Look to him. And in him find forgiveness for your failures and strength to father as the father fathers. Look to him. Look to him to find forgiveness from your failures and strength to father as the father fathers. Let me close with a simple prayer. If you got one of these, I put the prayer in here in a little sheet. We had Happy Father's Day by some of the kids at Grace Church on there, and then the CD, and inside is a Happy Father's Day from Grace Church, and on the back is the prayer that I'm gonna pray. I read and prayed this several years ago. It was a prayer by a man from the Gospel Coalition. Let's pray this. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, it is a great joy to affirm that you are the Father we have always longed for and needed. The best earthly fathers offer a great taste, but only a taste, of what it means to be your beloved children. But they can never be to us what you are. Our hearts overflow. That is, God, by your grace, cause our hearts to overflow with thanksgiving, allowing us, granting us, causing us to cry with joy today, Abba, Father. Thank you for adopting us through the finished work of Jesus and for robing us in Jesus' righteousness and forgiving all our sins. Thank you for freeing us from our slavery to sin and our orphan-like ways, for identifying with the devil as our father instead of you, and for giving us the spirit of sonship, a secure place in your family, and an inheritance that can never spoil or fade. Thank you for being the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Thank you for promising to complete the work you began in us, and for always disciplining us in love, never shaming, never chiding, and never withdrawing from us. And Father, we thank you for the grace to forgive our earthly fathers who didn't love us as you love us, as you intended, including those who broke our trust and broke our hearts. Continue to heal us, Lord. Help us to love them and free us to parent to your glory. Lastly, Father, we thank you for the spiritual dads you've given us, the gospel fathers who help us discover more and more of the multidimensional love of Christ. And so in all of this, we pray, amen, in Jesus' merciful and mighty name.